Welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast. The LED Cast is a knowledge sharing initiative by MESO Partner, that's M-E-S-O Partner. For more information about MESO Partner knowledge sharing activities, please have a look at knowledge.mesopartner.com. In this episode, I'm going to have a conversation with Geoff Ritson and John Lawson about an exercise that we did a year ago at a so-called technology station in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. Hi, Geoff.
Hi, Jörg.
Hi, John.
Hi, Jörg.
So maybe we should briefly explain what a technology station is. Geoff, can you quickly enlighten us?
Well, I'll enlighten you in terms of what our technology station does. It's basically a funded facility buried within a chemical institute, that makes available the services of the chemical institute to industry.
So that's the chemical institute inside university?
Inside the university, okay. That's right.
Yeah.
And as a result, we have access to the expertise, the research, the facilities in terms of laboratories and pilot plant, all of which can be brought to use by the technology station to serve and support projects for industry.
Yeah. So it sounds a bit like what Elsa would be called a technology transfer station. Is that a fair way of describing it?
I think it's a very right way of describing it. Okay. I think that that's a lot of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And maybe to describe a little bit more, so are you usually, or in the past, did you usually proactively come up with ideas and then try to sell them? Or did you try to highlight what kind of services you could offer and then waited for customers to demand those services? What was the typical profile?
The way we started out was to take technology we had developed ourselves and commercialize that. The difficulty is to demonstrate the technology, and the next thing we needed was the pilot plant to demonstrate the technology and utilize the students who worked within the project, but also to assist with introducing the technology to a business, or in fact to start a business with a new technology. The difficulty we have here is that the relatively low capacity of small business in South Africa to take on this technology. So the work we do is more extensive than just simply handing across a formulation or a process.
Mm. So that is what a technology station does, technology transfer station does at a university. Now, what we're going to talk about is a specific exercise that we did last year, which was called a RELIS exercise, and I'm in a slightly awkward position now because I'm the guy who actually invented that. But maybe I don't have to explain it now. John, could you just summarize what we do and how you perceive what we do when we do RELIS?
The RELIS exercise is a structured set of processes, workshops, interviews, which have the aim to engage key stakeholders who have the best understanding and intellectual property of understanding the issues in our sector. In the Rollis case, it's the innovation system. In Geoff's case, it's the downstream chemical sector. So it's a particular process to gather the right people with good understanding of the issues, apply their minds to find out what the biggest challenges are, and try and seek some opportunities to pursue and improvements on competitiveness and improvements in the functioning of the innovation system. Key to this also then is also defining the role of the technology station and what services it could offer and how it could adapt its services to play a stronger role in the innovation system.
Now, the obvious next question is, what was the starting point? Why did we do? I mean, I must admit, I was also part of the team who conducted this exercise. So why did this idea come up that we should do a RELIS exercise around the Innoventon Downstream Chemical Technology Station?
The idea basically came from the Tsumisano Trust. We were a relatively new technology station, and as such, we were finding our way in our market and the process of defining our role. We had already established a strategic plan for ourselves, but were aware of the shortcomings of the plan as we moved into implementation. And so the RELIS exercise helped us hugely in clarifying what our market was, or who our clients were, what services were required by the market, and also helped us to define who the stakeholders really were in terms of this technology system.
Maybe before we explain a little bit further what we actually found during that exercise, let's extreme what downstream chemical means. So what exactly does a downstream chemical look like or smell like?
Well, a downstream chemical is just about anything that probably the consumer recognizes as being chemical. Uh-huh. Anything from cosmetics to fuel additives to paints and a whole host of other products. Downstream means that we are not focusing in the area where people are making the primary products. We're focusing on those industries that take the primary products and process those either through reactive chemistry or through the process of blending to make consumer products.
Maybe we can just sound this a little bit more chemical. So what are the like the main substances that you would use when you are involved in downstream chemical?
A lot of what we use and our principal focus area is organic chemistry. So we're using feedstocks that come out of refineries in South Africa, principally from people like PetroSA, from the Sasol group, and imported chemicals in many cases as well.
Now, looking at what we found during the RELIS exercise, so it was now exactly a year ago, looking back at that, what stands out for you as the main findings?
I think what confirmed for us, I think actually we discovered in the process, was that there is a very weak innovative system in small industries, and that our activity was going to be substantially greater in the area of actually introducing technologies as well as supporting them. Not just inventing and problem solving, but actually having to hold people's hands through the process of commercializing and industrializing the processes.
John, if you look back at what we did a year ago, how would you summarize what for you came mostly out? What were the most important insights?
What was interesting about the downstream chemicals rapid appraisal was that the normal approach that we use in a rapid appraisal, such as looking at a value chain and looking at specific sectors and links and their competitiveness, we were suddenly challenged with the fact that the downstream chemical options or service now could leads into downstream is it could be automotive, it could be health products, Aspen Pharmaceuticals, it could be cosmetics, it could be food and fuel additives. So it was just so complex in terms of the variety of options. Yet at the same time, the market and for demand that could take and utilize their services was not strong. So this gave us a particular challenge in terms of saying, or there were a number of constraints in terms of being able to get clarity from the contextual situation what exactly the technology station should do. So the main advantages that came out of that was getting much greater clarity in terms of the role that the technology station could play and how it could add value most effectively as it goes forward. That required both looking at its output, but it also looked at an interrogation of the factors within the technology station in terms of the internal constraints, relationships with other people in the innovation system, with the university systems, and all of these led to change, and Jeff could maybe talk to what changes were most beneficial for him.
Mm-hmm. So what we did during that exercise, we conducted a series of workshops. I mean, in a way, RELIS is very similar to what we do during doing a PACA exercise in some respects. We conduct very effective, very efficient mini-workshops, relatively brief exercises where we get a couple of people from a given subsector together. We go out and interview a couple of people, see what they are doing. So we're collecting a lot of information and try to digest that and come up with proposals for very practical activities, especially looking at not only at the really difficult things, but also at quick win activities. So, what were some of the things that actually came out and that were then pursued by the technology station in terms of implementing practical activities?
Several. I think in the first one that comes to mind is the area that we really needed to establish internally a system by which we would manage projects. We deal with a lot of different projects, some very small, very short-term interventions, short-term problem-solving. Others can last up to a year. And we needed a system, a common system, by which we would initiate a project, we would budget for a project, we would vet a project and agree as a technical team to pursue the project, which meant we had both the resources and the facilities and the knowledge to be able to do justice to the project, and then to follow through with the project on a planned basis, to deliver it on agreed deliverables, and at the end of that, follow up with the client and ensure that we have delivered what we set out to deliver and, of course, get paid for what we did.
Mm. So one of the set of findings had a lot to do with the way that the technology station worked internally and how it related to the university. John, you've been involved in a couple of RELIS exercises now. What we found in this case was that it's not so easy necessarily to convince people inside the university that they collaborate with industry and that they try to adjust to the needs, very specific needs of industry. So what we did in this exercise, how does that compare with what you found in other exercises? Is there kind of a pattern as far as the interaction between university people, university researchers, and companies is concerned?
What we found is a similar pattern to other universities and other RELIS exercises we did at universities and technology stations in South Africa. And the pattern is a structural pattern in South Africa that we find that our university lecturers and academic staff, a very, very small percentage have practical experience in industry. So they are far removed and not close or seldom close and intimate with industry understanding the real issues. What's aggravated the problem is that the funding streams come and don't reward people for having a market-driven approach. So they would do research which is not really aligned with what the industry needs are. And the university's performance model does not necessarily match optimizing competitiveness, for example, of key industries. So there's a different value system that the university has to what the mandate of this technology station is and what you're trying to do through the innovation system. So the technology station has the difficulty that it's pursuing a particular target. It is constrained and is operating within the environment of a university with a different value system, with a different business model, and not being very sympathetic to the actual needs of the technology station. So what one required is a shift in the thinking and the paradigms of the leadership of the university. First of all, to recognize and value what this technology station means to them as an organization. And typically after the RELIS, the university leadership discovered and found out how valuable these technology stations are. So first was valuing the technology station, and secondly then creating awareness and insight in terms of the constraints that they place unconsciously on the performance of the technology station. So what we did is we facilitated a workshop first for them to understand the values and the benefits of the technology station and the innovation system. Then secondly, through a second phase of making them realize what constraints are placed on them. So by the time we finished the workshop, there was an understanding of the problem. We hadn't come yet to resolving all the or getting solutions to everything, but at least there was a shift in thinking, which then opened the door for improvement.
One of the terms that we've been using quite a bit now in this conversation is innovation system. Jeff, is that a term that you used to be familiar with when we started with this whole work?
No, not at all. I think that we saw innovation in a very narrow context of basically inventing or new knowledge or a new process, a new procedure, a new product. We didn't see it as a chain of events or a process, and the RELIS exercise really brought that home to us. It significantly changed our approach to the way in which we considered the innovation area In fact, what we can call the value chain of innovation mm-hmm. is something we've adopted in our planning, in both the research side as well as in the technology support side, what we would call the technology station prime activity, and throughout the Institute.
So if you had to explain to some of your colleagues now how this value chain works, how would you do that? How would you characterize that?
The way we've depicted it is probably a way of characterizing it. We've depicted it really as, in the first case, the establishment or development of new knowledge, which can be an invention, either patentable or otherwise. It may necessarily be specifically considered as IP, but it's IP in that sense. IP really is what we would call intellectual property. And in our own institute, we've had several patents in this year, and one of those patents has already been successfully commercialized. In other words, sold to an outside party who's now going forward to manufacture and market the products. Within our own organization, for following the research, we were then able to discover the product. From there, we moved to the point of what we call technology demonstration. In other words, converting that discovery into a usable process. From there, we then optimize that process. But then recognizing that taking the invention or the process or product out into the marketplace is a whole chain of events. And establishing, for example, the appropriate client with whom to work and partner in order to transfer the technology to them. And then, of course, the issue of supporting the technology once it's installed and operating, the need to support the startup, the need to support the product throughout. So it's a whole chain, quality chain of activities which we can consider to be the system. But the system also is supported by things like where we get our funding from, whether industry is ripe or ready for it, whether other industries would support it, and all sorts of external and outside influences and support which we need to take the technology forward.
Now, one of the features of chains that I usually like to highlight is that there's only one way of moving them, that is by pulling them. And they then usually move in one direction. So to what extent is this value chain something that moves in one direction only, that is from the university to the industry? And to what extent is it a genuine system with all sorts of feedback loops and processes that run in all sorts of different directions?
If we take the analogy of pulling a chain, in fact, in some cases, we find ourselves actually pushing a chain. Having developed the technology, we then have to push that technology out into the marketplace. Of course, there's another area where outside parties may ask us to develop technology for them, and that would be an example of a pulling process. So we're involved in both those areas.
Yeah, technology push is not necessarily a bad idea. We think of 3M's Post-it. They developed a technology which was an extremely big failure in terms of glue, and then they found an application for it. So by definition, the downstream chemicals technology station is very biased to find and add more value to the large number of chemicals that are available in South Africa, and the value is not added to it. So they've got both the push and pull.
Maybe let's look at some of the practical things that came out of the whole exercise, not just in terms of interaction between technology station and the university, and generally describing what happened between technology station and customers. But in terms of practical examples, is there any nice practical examples that you could point at in terms of things that you did over the past year?
I think what it helped us to do in the first instance was to get focused on what we were good at, so that we would know that the innovations that we intended to work with would have a substantially good chance of succeeding. As far as examples are concerned, I think we've learned the process is not simple, and then every project is very different. We've been involved in an insect repellent project which required to be pushed into the marketplace. It was invented at the university. It has received international support, And we are now in the process of identifying, and have now identified, a company and an organization that, with our help, can commercialize this very successfully. We have another in the terms of the preservation of roses, a strange technology which was brought to us in a very crude form, which we worked on. And that today is now just being granted 5 million rand to build the first plant to move that, to commercialize that, that technology. And that particular process will need our ongoing support, we anticipate, for probably another 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Another possible connection might be in the area of training. To what extent has what we found a year ago had an influence on what you're doing in the area of training and education?
I think the discovery that there really isn't a very substantial technology base, particularly in small and medium-sized industry, as far as the chemical industry is concerned, means that there is a lot of very basic training that is required. We are a higher educational institute, and as a result, the training that comes naturally to us is actually at a higher level than is really required at the small and medium-sized business level. So what we've had to do, and we're planning to do, and have in fact moved ahead on two fronts, is to establish new programs, new courses, which will address the needs of the industry as it is and at the level that it's at. One is in formulation science, and the reason behind that simply is that probably 80% of South Africans' downstream chemical industry, at this stage at least, are in the business of mixing and blending products for cosmetics, for household products, for paints, for inks, for whatever. And the other major problem that, again, it's not unique to South Africa, but it is a substantial problem in South Africa, is the area of chemical processing. The very basic principles that anybody who's going to work in the chemical process industry needs to understand to at least begin to get into the ground floor of being effective in industry is completely undelivered in this country. And as a result, we're in the process of developing that with an industrial partner.
Maybe one last item, one last issue that we could look at is to talk just a little bit about this type of approach that we used with the Aralis. So I have a relatively brief, it was a two-week exercise where we had very intense discussions, very intense conversations inside the technology station with the university, but also with industries. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that I think you haven't been exposed to before. You haven't enjoyed that before. So looking back at that, how does that compare with other approaches and with the normal way of, so to speak, of doing things?
I think the intensity of the program has some advantages, none the least of which is that you, in the debate and discussion, you highlight areas you need to research further, you need to develop further, interactions you haven't had that you need to have. The fact that it's fast-paced and intensive means that you get on with the job and you make those appointments and you have those interviews and you have those interactions. I think if the program was extended over a considerable period of time, possibly this intensity might not be there, and the rate at which and the intensity at which you conduct these interviews and the questions that you ask might just not be as effective. I think one is driven into almost a state of frenzy to actually get the information you need and to ask the right kind of questions. And I think the two-week type of approach in a more intense process involving as many people as possible has many benefits.
John, anything you want to add to that?
I'd like to ask Jeff a question. Jeff, looking back at the process 1 year later, what changes would you attribute? What are the two or three most significant changes that occurred, or changes in the technology station that occurred resulting from the Rollis exercise?
I think the first one is that we've now revised our three-year plan for the institute and for the technology station, and the Rallis exercise has provided us with absolutely essential input into that plan. We are much more comfortable that our three-year plan is realistic, achievable, and we understand exactly what we're going to do, and we understand the market we're going to address. I think the other major activity that we've been involved in is improving our systems, as I mentioned earlier, so that we can use the resources we have available to us more effectively. Bearing in mind that we're using research people, high-caliber research scientists, we want to be sure that we make their time on a project as productive as possible, and so we were able to keep the pace of the project going. Bear in mind also that they're not available all the time, and so it's really important that we plan access to those resources and to achieve our project outcomes as best in the shortest possible time.
Last question: what was the biggest surprise during that exercise?
I think the biggest surprise, which we talk about often, is the complete absence of capacity in small and medium industries to absorb technology. It's something we hadn't considered, but it does, when you understand it and when you recognize it, it substantially changes your approach.
Mm. John?
Yeah, one of the things that we added in the Rawlis exercise was a quick qualitative benchmarking exercise of business management practices. The benchmarking exercise at the technology station. And we had the benefit of repeating this exercise 6 months later. And the difference in the management practices and the increased awareness and consciousness and growth was absolutely astonishing. One of the key things that came out of this benchmarking exercise that could be attributed to the Rawlis was the shift in the way that Innoventon is doing its innovation and approaching its innovation, whereas there was a high concentration on certain individuals to be superheroes beforehand. That thinking has shifted totally towards empowering and allowing and finding more people to succeed, to find areas where they can innovate and succeed. So it's gone from a sort of a concentrated couple of gurus to now a team that is now even incentivized to innovate. And it was wonderful to see. It was just lovely, lovely to see that coming out in an instrument.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.